CF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
All right, welcome to Version Control 101 with Subversion. You will be graded. There's a test at the end. It just says survey, but it's really a test. You can just mark your own score. 5 is better. And my name is Shlomi Gentz. I'll be presenting on version control. And again, this is not necessarily Cold Fusion. This is a little bit off topic. But it's something that I find that's really important, especially for Cold Fusion developers. I often enough come in as a consultant to a company and do reviews. And I ask, okay, what version control system are you using? And I usually get these blank stares of version control. We use the version control. We have our own system. What's our own system? Copy, right. Copy, paste. Zip files. We have zip files every day. And that's our new version control system. We don't need no stinking version control system, right? So version control is extremely important, and now with Subversion, it's free and easy. So what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk a little bit about what version control is. We're going to talk about installing Subversion and how to use it. We're going to talk about Tortoise SVN and SubEclipse. Leave some time for Q&A, and if time permits, I'll try to give you a couple of demonstrations on how I use Subversion, SubEclipse to do version control. So let's start with a question. Has this ever happened to you? You make some changes to the code, the application breaks. You change the code back, the application's still broken. This ever happened? Yeah. Couple of times. Oh, by the way, we need to launch in 15 minutes, so everything has to be working. Or for instance, let's say that you were working on a version works, everything is fine. Last night you made a lot of changes. It's still not 100% working, but you really pushed through. And then your manager comes in the morning and says, listen, we got to launch now. I don't care what changes you made. We had a stable version last night. Well, yeah, I copied it to a zip file, and I put it in a folder. I don't remember exactly what folder, and that doesn't really work, right? Well, how about this? Some of you may work in a team, right? How many people work in a team? Not. So you make some changes. Some other team member that's not as good as you are, make some changes, other changes, and the application breaks. Now, of course, our code is perfect, right? I told you that yesterday if you were in my presentation. So because they made the application break, now we have to come in and fix it. Now, what did they change? Now, because they're a junior developer, they don't even remember what they changed because they were drinking beer last night at the CF party, etc. So, oh, by the way, we have to launch in 10 minutes. So what do we do? So if this ever happened, does this sound familiar to anyone? Yes? Yeah, happened? Yeah. Okay. So what is version control? The management of multiple revisions of the same unit of information. This is the last time I'm going to read from a slide. Makes me sound like a marketing person. Management of multiple revisions. Basically, it allows me to save multiple revisions of a file. Now, that doesn't necessarily have to be a CFM file. This could be any file, a PDF file, binaries, anything. How does it work? Let's look at a couple of basic concepts of version control. Repository. A repository is a central or master copy of a project, of a set of files. So usually, the repository will be stored on a server that enable us to use that repository as a team. All of us can connect to that server, connect to that repository, and get our own versions. A client is a person with a computer, terminal, whatever, that wants to work on a project, that has permissions to work on a project as well. The client will retrieve a working copy from the repository of the current version. And they will work on their working copy locally. And then they will update the repository. So here's how it works. Client 1 has a working copy, and they can commit changes to the repository. The repository tracks the changes, tracks the versions, and allows us to, for instance, roll back to a previous version. Client 1 can commit to a repository, and client 2, in this instance, can update, can grab the current, most updated copy from the repository. Again, a lot of times I'll go in and I see a lot of communication, a lot of emails going back and forth, a lot of messages going back and forth. Oh, where did you put this copy? Is this the latest copy of this file? Is this working? Is this not working? And we'll see folders, so it's just version 1.1, version 1.2, version 1.3, etc. Just people managing their versions in folders. Anyone still doing that? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. All right. So multiple clients or multiple team members can actually have their own working copy, work on code, test it, and then update the repository. Developers commit changes, and developers update to get changes that others have committed to the repository. There are other operations that a repository allows you to do. For instance, merge. We can merge changes. Two developers can work on the same file, and we can merge the changes together. We can export. We can export a version of the current files into a clean directory. By the way, updating, committing, this is also known as checking in and checking out. Checking out is simply getting a working copy from the repository. Checking in is simply committing the updated version to the repository. So what are the benefits? We have one location where all the project files are at. Code, DDLs, etc. I actually store Word document in the repository as well, because it allows me to do a really, really easy way of tracking changes in the project. It gives me an historical record of what changed, when, who changed it. So if I have to fire someone, I know who. I can retrieve older versions very, very easily, but with the click of a button. I don't have to remember, I don't have to go back to the comments and see, I changed this and then I changed that. That doesn't work. It might work on small applications, but I assure you it will break at some point. It allows you to develop in parallel. You're not afraid of writing over someone else's code. It allows us to synchronize our code. Some of us can work on the same code base, on the same file even. We can actually manage multiple versions. For instance, let's say I have an application. It's a product, a project management product, per se. And I have a client that says, I'm going to pay you $10,000 to customize this version. Well, I'm going to have to branch out and create a new version that's based on the same code base, right? The repository and a version control system allow me to do that very easily. While in another scenario, when I'm not using a version control system, I would have to copy the code, right? Then make some changes, and then make sure that both code bases are up to date. If I find bugs in one, update the other, etc. For me, the most important one is add comments regarding every change. I can actually add comments on every single change, or even require my developers to add comments on every single change. Now, developers don't like it that much, but managers like it a lot. Not using version control. What have we seen? We've seen frequent backups. People back up all the time. We have a lot of wasted storage space because version control systems only store the changes. They don't store the file over and over and over again. It's easy to forget why certain changes were made, so I usually require comments on every commit. And of course, it's very hard to restore systems to our old status. unless we save zip files and add comments to them, etc., etc. And of course, high blood pressure, stress, and many other symptoms. Let's look at some approaches. One approach is to lock, modify, and unlock. And this is something that's very widely used if you're using Dreamweaver. Dreamweaver actually has its own little mechanism for checking in and checking out. Anyone using that? We have a few. Okay, how do you like it? I'm hearing a lot of That's okay, right? If you have? Right. It's okay. It's not great. So Dreamweaver comes with some version control, which is basically a lock, modify, and lock model. What does it mean? I check out a file. The minute I check it out, it's locked. No one can touch that file. Another developer cannot take it out, cannot use it, etc. Actually, Dreamweaver doesn't enforce that much. Dreamweaver creates what's called an LCK file that basically allows you to, if all of you are using Dreamweaver, it won't allow you to check out the file. But if you're using another tool, you can actually update the file. It's no problem. Only one developer can work on a file at a time. So until I check the file back in, no one can modify it. No one can upgrade it. No one can change it. So let's review. We have two programmers, Kenny and Eric. Kenny will read the file and then lock it, right? So Kenny has a version, it's locked. Eric cannot lock the file because Kenny's already locked it. Kenny commits the changes and then unlocks the file. Eric can now lock, read, and edit the new file. Now, this model is a very old model and not very useful, meaning if you're the only one working on the project, maybe I would recommend that. But if you forget to unlock, no one else can update the file, only one developer at a time. That's not a very good model. Another model is the copy, modify, merge model, where many developers can actually check out the same files. When we have a conflict, for instance, two developers worked on the same line of code or same code and changed, we can merge these together. Two users will copy the same file from the repository. Kenny makes his change, select ID from table 2, and Eric makes his change. Change the CF dump to CF output. Can everyone see the code? Oh, it's a little unclear. Eric commits first, and his version is saved in a repository. Kenny tries to commit and gets an out-of-date error saying, hey, your file's out of date. You need to update. Someone already updated this file. Kenny compares that repository version with his own version. And the new merged version is created. Kenny can then take that merged version and commit it to the repository. And of course, both users have each other's changes. Developers can work in parallel, and conflicts are easily tagged, merged, etc. Subversion is an open source, free product that uses copy, modify, merge. Go ahead.
How is that merged? It looks like it just copied over.
The merge, let me go back. The table name. This is table 2. He changed the table to table 2. Right. And then that was removed.
Right. So it's not really a merge.
There's not enough room in that piece of code for all the merge tags, and we'll show a merge later on.
Okay.
But that's the basic idea of a merge. All right. So let's talk about subversion. Subversion uses a copy, modify merge model. It's really built as a better CVS. Anyone here using CVS currently? Okay. How do you like it? It's okay. What else? Perfect. Great. What?
You were asking about other
CVS.
Besides CVS?
No, just CVS. No, there's no love in the room for CVS.
No.
Okay. I've seen a lot of people struggle with installing CVS, using CVS. And frankly, I've struggled as well. I've used CVS for a very long time, and I've struggled. Every time I had to install it, I had to call my Linux guru and ask them, a bunch of questions, get some snooty remarks. And usually, somehow, he'll say, okay, just forget about it. Let me do it. I'll do it. And the next day, he did some magic, and it worked. So it's really built as a better CVS. It also has a lot of features that CVS doesn't have. It has all the features of CVS, but also a lot of other things that CVS did not do right. It was built from scratch to be a client-server application, a true client-server application. Everything in Subversion is easier. That means that, for instance, when I apply changes, they are truly atomic. When I commit, it's truly atomic. That means that either the whole commit commits or not at all. Until the commit is finished with no errors, nothing is really committed to the repository. This works either on top of Apache or as a standalone. It's very, very, very fast and very scriptable. We can create a lot of scripts for Subversion, integrated with Ant, other tools, etc. And it's widely used. This is not a new product, so it's very widely used, widely recognized. There's a lot of plugins and additions to Subversion. Installing Subversion. Simply download Subversion from subversion.tigris.org. And there are basically two installation options. One is, of course, on top of Apache, which we're going to cover in this class, and SVN Serve, which is not covered. And again, most installations that I've seen are on top of Apache. So how do I install? First thing I do is install Apache. Very simple to install, the most common web server around. Yes? No. After I install Apache, for instance, let's say I have IIS running on the same machine. After I install Apache, I'll show you there's a configuration file in Apache, and simply you select a different port. For instance, the version I have here is going to be running on port 81 instead of 80, and I'll show you where to change that. So Apache actually doesn't interfere, especially with IIS. It's very, very common to have it on, have Apache running and IIS running. It's fine. Now, the third comment here, copy from the Subversion to Apache module. By the time this, from the time this presentation was actually created, this is no longer needed. Really, it's only needed if you're using older versions of Subversion. If your corporation, for instance, only approved older version, not the current version, you might need to copy these modules into the Apache modules directory. Right now, if you install Apache first and Subversion after, Subversion will actually install those modules into Apache. The third thing we have to do is edit the httpconf file and in the Apache conf directory, and we'll go over that. So I'm going to switch to a virtual machine that I have. And in my virtual machine, we covered the install steps. In the httpconf file, I'm going to add a location. I'm going to create a new repository. So I have a CSVN directory. Sorry, mistake. There we go. I have a CSVN directory. That's where I'm going to store my repository. I'm going to go to Program Files, Apache 2, conf, and open httpd.conf. Now, at the bottom of this file, first of all, just to answer your question, over here in the configuration file, I can simply add listen 81 instead of listen 80, so Apache will listen to port 81. I scroll down, all the way down, and I added a location to Apache. This location will be /svn. This document will be available later. This is also available in Tortoise SVN help file, has a complete guide on how to install SVN, which is very, very easy. So I added a location using dev. I set a parent path for CSVN, give it authentication type. Now, one thing to note is you can use subversion without authenticating, but in most cases, you want to protect your code. You want to make sure that other people can't simply access your subversion repository. So in this case, I'm using basic authentication and a simple Apache password file to protect my repository. And require valid user. Very, very simple instructions to Apache to protect this directory. Any questions about this? Yes. Yes, to simulate another machine. Just in case network connection isn't working here, then I'll be able to use a virtual machine. Again, this could be a server somewhere, you know, somewhere else in the universe. Doesn't matter.
But there hasn't been any problems with the network at all.
That's the understatement of the year, I would say. Just because I created a virtual machine, that means the network will work fine. If I did not create a virtual machine, network would not work. Trust me, I've done this a couple of times. All right, so we changed the Apache configuration. We added that SVN location. We know that Apache can now talk to subversion. We created SVN. And now we want to create a CF United folder. In my case, I already created one, so I'm going to create a different folder. I'm going to create a test folder. I'm going to use this test folder as a repository later. Okay, give me one second, go back. All right. So I edited the file, and I can use subversion. She's simply using the SVN command line. SVN command and arguments. Checkout, update, add, delete. This is very similar to CVS. However, personally, I don't like using command line. I'm not going to remember all that. I've got other things to worry about. So I use what's called a Tortoise SVN client, which is also free. You can download it from tortoisesvn.tigris.org, and it's basically a Windows Explorer shell extension. I installed Tortoise SVN on both client and server. On the server, it helps me easily create and manage repositories. On the client, it helps me commit changes, update, merge, etc. So let's look at Tortoise SVN, and I'm going to create a repository. I'm going to show you how easy it is to do. Switch back to my machine. I'm in my test directory. I'm going to right-click And you see I have Tortoise SVN here? I'm going to choose Create Repository here. Create and click OK. Repository is created. I'm done. I have a repository. That took, what, 2 seconds? All right. I prefer it. Just no reason whatsoever. What? I prefer it. Again, we can go, no practical reasons. Again, this is from way back, and there is really, on a lot of older projects, I still use the Berkeley, so I usually go with that. There's, in essence, it's a philosophical argument more than a real argument on which database model to use. All right, so let's switch back. So I just created a repository with Subversion. Now, I want to use Subversion on an existing project. So, I have a folder here. Called cfguru.org. Everyone heard of cfguru.org? Yeah? It's a new site that's basically a blog containing a list of all the discussions from the CF Guru mailing list. So I have this project here. Just going to delete one file. And I'm going to right-click, choose Tortoise, and import. And I'm going to import this into my new repository, which is, in this case, it's the virtual machine 192.168.142.129, port 81, SVN, test. Click on OK. And you see that all these versions are being added to the repository. This is version 1. You'll also see that nothing's changed in the CFGuru folder, because I just updated the repository. I didn't check the files out. So I'm going to remove those files and check out. Check out from SVN test into cfguru.org. Click OK. And now I'm ready to work. Now notice there's little icons. Because I use Tortoise, there are now little icons that indicate whether the file has been changed, updated, etc. There's also little SVN directories, .svn directories. On every directory, you'll see a little .svn directory. This helps keep track of the changes that I'm making in each directory, in each file. So in this case, I'm going to take a file. Let's see. Let's get test.cfm. Switch to my CFGuru site. And this is, of course, based on Raymond Camden's blog CFC. Choose the test file. And I'm simply going to change. This is a change. Save the file. And let's look at cfguru.org. Now notice the test has changed. Yes? To work on a map drive? Yes. 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 Again, if there's any specific issues regarding Tortoise or SVN, just feel free to email me after or come by and ask a question. Yeah.
You didn't name this project, so is it sort of directory by directory? You're saying everything in this directory
is... I named the repository. I called it test.
So that's per project?
Right. Your repository is just That's the name of the project. So in my repository, I can now take test and simply right-click Tortoise SVN, click on commit. Now it's asking me, okay, I don't have to commit just one file. I can commit many files, one folder, etc. It's asking me to give in some comments. Okay, so let's put in some comments. I changed this file, test. Notice, it's marked. It's telling me, oh, test.cfm, because I felt like it. And I'm going to click OK. And it's sending. Completed. Now I have another version of test. I can right-click on test, go to Tortoise SVN, and show log, and see what happened to this file. There are many other options for Tortoise SVN. For instance, look at a revision graph. Check for modifications in the repository. Or even rename and delete. And one thing a subversion does very, very well is also track renames, track deletes. One thing to note is you should delete through subversion and not delete using click and delete. That way you allow subversion to track the fact that a file was deleted. Right.
But let's say you check it out, you set it from your computer. You know what I mean? Like, what do? We do that.
You check it back out from the repository.
Check it back out, even though it's already marked.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no problem.
Can you view differences?
Can you view differences?
Within the log, like
Yes. Yes. There's a little diff tool built in. Again, personally, for diffs, I prefer a small tool called Beyond Compare. From Scuda Software. And if there's time, we can show you that. Again, if you want to look at diffs, just to answer your question, go to Tortoise SVN and in that revision graph, we need a more complex example. We can actually see differences. Also, using a function called blame, you can see actually who made the changes in every blame. Again, personally, there's a little tool that I like to use. It's called Beyond Compare. It's from Scuda Software, and it's it combines a diff tool with an FTP tool, so it's very, very useful. Yes, yes, here. I'm just deleting a file. Okay? I just deleted a file, right? I'll go up, right-click on CFGuru, and try to commit. And what's telling me is that post-htm is missing. It will identify that. Now, you should delete using subversion. Yes. Because the original version was in the repository. Now, if you made changes to this file and didn't commit the changes, of course, your only option is the recycle bin.
Can somebody delete the files in the repository?
Can you delete files in the repository? Yes, you can modify the database. You can manipulate it. It's just you don't. People usually don't access the repository directly. They usually use Tortoise or a command line and. It usually does. Right, right. And so if you look at the repository itself, it's not really saving the files the way you would think. It's really saving a lot of little databases of changes. Okay, so it's not that easy to go in and delete and manipulate. So the process was to create a repository. We imported the files into that repository. And then we checked them back out as a working copy. After we check them out as a working copy, we can simply change, commit, update, etc. Yeah? Yes. It's preferred that the file is, that the directory is empty. Tortoise VN will give you sort of a little pop-up saying the directory is not empty. You really want to do this. And a lot of times it will mess up the files a little bit. So it's really preferred that you have an empty directory to have to put the working copy in. Shouldn't it?
Like when it does the import.
Right. That's up to the guys who developed Tortoise SVN. I mean, I'm not. I didn't develop this.
But it's a manual process.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Would you make more than one repository, or just one?
I would make one per project. Sub Eclipse. Who here is using CF Eclipse? Wow, great. So you're going to like Sub Eclipse. Who here is using Dreamweaver? Who's using HomeSite? Okay, less. So if you're using, who here hasn't heard of CF Eclipse? Okay, good. So if you're using Eclipse, which I do a lot, you'd be happy to know there's also a free, you notice there's a theme here, free. There's a free Eclipse plugin called Sub Eclipse. Again, from subeclipsetigris.org. And it allows you, it allows you to use version control with Subversion in Eclipse. So if you noticed, I had my CF Guru project and it was a working copy. I'm now going to create a new project in Eclipse. New project. This will be a CF Eclipse CFML project. The project name is CF Guru. And the project content will be inetpub, www.root, projects, cfguru.org. Notice, this, we can see the Tortoise SVN icons everywhere. Click OK. Next, it's not related to anything. Finish. Now I have my CF Guru repository. Now notice there are little icons here. This is not the regular CF Eclipse. I have icons here to indicate whether something has changed or been modified. So I'm going to create a new file. I'm going to call this file test2.cfm. Here's my new file. And again, some free publicity. I'm going to use my own CodeSaver plugin to create a template very quickly. Choose CF United. Choose the members table and a select query. Okay. Ah, wonderful error. Okay. Select the data source, CF United. Select the table, members. And I'll get the action, select query. I want to put this in the code. There we go. And CF dump, var equals get members. Save this file, and I'll go back to my CF Eclipse, browse this file, looks good. Notice there's a little question mark next to test, so I want to commit this file to the server. If I were to view this through Explorer, I would see something a little different. See nothing. This indicates this has not been added to the repository. So again, straight from Eclipse using sub-Eclipse. Then a right-click, choose Team, Commit. I added this file to show off CodeSaver. And click on OK. And my repository has been updated. And almost everything you can do from Tortoise, you can also do from sub-Eclipse. For instance, you can show the history of TestCFM, team, show the resource history of what happened. This becomes very, very useful. Revision 1, revision 2, what changed, etc. So all these tools together allow you to quickly set up a free version control mechanism, and they're very tightly integrated. Subversion has a lot of advanced features, but since, go ahead. Revision, yes, that is a new revision. Usually I will work on several files and then commit. I try to commit often so that, commit on every change of functionality, for instance, so I can roll back very easily. But you don't have to commit on every, each time you change one file. You can commit multiple files together. Select them and commit. Simply select them and commit, or select the directory and commit. And it will only commit the changes. Could be. Could be. But again, it's better to have more of it. Usually, I will try to change a piece of functionality and commit. Like I said in my debugging presentation yesterday, try to commit to changing one bug at a time, or one feature at a time, and then commit.
Does this have any effects on backup strategy, or just run your backups as you normally would?
One of the things that it has, the effect is, first of all, backup is always important. The only thing I would say is add the repository to your backups as well. Because then you have double backup. There are other advanced features of Subversion. Subversion is up there with SourceSafe and ClearCase and a lot of the other commercial tools. Things like branching and merging. The ability to branch, for instance, I have one version and I want to create another version that's a little bit of a different code base. The ability to merge two branches together. The ability to resolve conflicts. When there's a conflict, Subversion will save three files. One is a .mine file, which will basically be mine as in me, which will simply show your current file. New file, which will show you the new revision file and the old revision file. And then you can choose how you want to solve this conflict. There's also some automatic conflict resolution that's possible with Tortoise. Blame. For instance, with Blame, I can check for each line of code, tell me who changed this, etc., etc. But again, this is Subversion 101. There are other resources, such as the SVN book from Red Bean. Tortoise SVN, Subversion, Sub-Eclipse, all available from Tigris. And there are other version control systems that we didn't talk about, such as CVS, Visual Source Safe, ClearCase, etc., etc. There are many, many version control systems. But again, Subversion is free. And that's it. We're right on time for QA. Again, feel free to ask me any question. Even after the presentation, and please go to my blog, shlomigantz.com. The copy of this presentation will be there. Yes? Yes, yes. That's called a pin. For instance, let's say I have a file that worked, and I have another developer, and they're, again, not as good as I am, and they're making all these changes, or we brought in a new consultant, they're making all these changes, and suddenly that file doesn't work anymore. Well, I want to pin that version. I want to make sure that at least for me, even if I update, that version stays the version that worked. So I can pin several files and say, leave it at that version, and don't, even if I update, don't update these files. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
So typically you would check out an entire project if you're going to be working on multiple files, and then,
yes,
then check it back in after you wouldn't say.
Yes. I would branch. I would create a branch.
Okay.
Definitely. Yes, go ahead over there.
What's the best way to set up a data state production environment, many applications running on the
computer? Again, this is a more specific question that relates to your specific situation. In most cases, I would actually integrate Subversion with build tools and rsync, etc., that will do the deployment for me. With Subversion, you can. There's also tools that allow you straight from Subversion to create automatic releases. But again, this is beyond the 101. Go ahead.
So does Subversion have to sit on the box where the code is?
No, it can sit on the server. And as in this case, it was on a virtual machine, which could be a server anywhere. There are also hosting companies that specialize in hosting Subversion repositories for you, so you don't even have to set it up.
So if you had a production box and a dev box, you might still have your Subversion files,
yes,
in another box.
Yes. I would not use the development boxes as the same boxes for the repository. Go ahead. Code Saver. Code Saver is a free application I wrote back in 1998. All it does is generate code for you. Show you an example. Code Saver is free. It integrates with Eclipse, and it works with Access, MySQL, SQL Server, and Oracle. You simply choose a database, choose a table, and in this case, for instance, choose a simple CFC. It will produce the CFC for me, all the code for me. I click, and all the code is copied into Eclipse. Also, it allows you to do what's called multiple actions. So I can simply choose several tables and several actions and download all these files into a zip file. Again, free. You can download it from shlomigans.com. Yes? Yes. Subversion. Go ahead. Yes. Actually, Subversion uses a very good algorithm to save changes on binary files. So it doesn't have to save the entire file. It's very, very good for versioning binary files, and I've seen several companies use it to actually version other, not just source code.
Do you save like your stored procedures and things?
I save DDLs as well, yeah. Stored procedures, everything I save into Subversion. All the project artifacts, everything that matters to the project, I'll save in a Subversion repository. Yes? Keep changes. That's amazing. It keeps changes. It has an algorithm that allows you to just keep the changes. In the back. Yes. Subversion is highly scriptable. You can create scripts for Subversion. And again, this is not a 101 topic, but if you email me later, I'll give you my card. And it's very, very easy to script. All the way in the back. No, one repository per project. Yes, and the project as a whole, you know, could have directories for communication, planning, all that stuff, but not one per user. This allows me to look at the project from a project perspective rather from an individual user perspective, where a lot of times in corporations you'll have a shared directory where everyone puts files in their directory, and they don't have permission to go to other people's directory, and it all becomes one big mess looking for documentation and looking for files. So what ends up happening is this: people start emailing each other the files, right? And this becomes a big strain on the network, et cetera, et cetera. So it, usually I would make a repository just for that project without specific user directories. Yes, over there. I haven't tried using a thumb drive, but if you were copying it from a thumb drive back onto the regular hard drive, yes, then Subversion would identify that. You saw that little SVN directory; it will keep track of when the file was last updated, etc. So it will know when you're copying. It will basically change the last updated date. And Subversion will know that. Over there in the back.
What do you do when you actually want to deploy the changes?
Again, when I want to deploy, there are multiple options. One option is to export. Exports a clean copy without all those .svn directories. This exports a clean copy of your project from the repository. No, none of these SVN files, just the final, that's just the current version. So usually deployment involves some sort of export, followed by, depending on your environment, you know, using the other deployment tools like Ant, rsync, etc., to take that exported directory and deploy it to the servers. Yes? Right. Go ahead. I'm not sure. What? Yeah. Again, I'm not. I just recently got my first Mac, so I'm still playing around with it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. Go ahead. Yes, you can label. Label is basically setting a build, saying this is beta 1. I'm labeling this version, beta 1. So you can label files, etc., as a this is a version.
So you can always go back, even if you had more files otherwise.
Yes, you can always go back to a specific version. Yes, over there.
What about setting up users?
In this case. Yes, in this case, I was setting up users using Apache authentication, right? Basic authentication. So I simply, I'll show you the file. This is simply using a password file for Apache, basically adding to HTTP password, creating a password with the username, and adding it to Apache. Now, if you're using the Subversion itself, through SVN serve, there's a different way. Also, in the Tortoise SVN help file, which is one of the best help files I've read lately, you can see more advanced features. The Tortoise SVN help, very, very, very useful. There's also an introduction of basic concepts, setting up a server, and also about authentication, for instance, with a Windows domain. Configuration of simple configuration, or even more advanced configurations with allow this project to this user, allow that project to that user, etc. And these are all in the documentation for Tortoise SVN. Other questions? Age-old question. What is the best way to organize a project in the repository? I would actually remove the words "in the repository." It really depends on how you organize things. I personally create a code directory, test directory for just playing around, a work directory that has files from people like designers and marketing people, etc. And each person has their own directory structure. But again, I mean, I own the company, so I can tell everyone how I want the code to be structured. There's really no good answer for this. Everyone has their own style. Go ahead.
When you're merging down files that two different developers have worked on, mm-hmm. Is the merging, is that automatic, or do you have to choose which part?
Sometimes. Depends if there's a conflict or not. Let's say you both worked on the same line in the same area and made changes. Sometimes we can merge things automatically, and Subversion will just tell you this is a merge and it happened and we had to merge some comments from other developers. But in most cases, again, Subversion will create three files for you. .mine file, .new revision, and old revision, so you can look at those files. Also, Subversion will mark the changes. Let me just find a notepad. If you look in the file, it looks for something like this, and this is where Subversion will mark the changes that were made. Yes?
This may not be a one-on-one question, but we have a scenario in our company where we have a development box that we have to use. Because if we're not developing on our own local machine, which mm-hmm. is what we prefer to do,
right.
we all have to use this box.
Right.
So when we do things like the merge changes where it's creating those three files, like a .mine and whatever,
right.
are those local files for my client, or are they going to be placed on
those are local files to your client. Those will be placed locally because you try to commit from a local directory. So
my local directory is the development file.
Okay. Again, in a situation, are you saving to like a map drive? Is it like a map drive?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, for Tortoise, it doesn't matter it's a map drive. There's some things that don't work as well. But in the latest version of Tortoise, it really doesn't matter that much. It will create them on the map drive because that's where you're committing from. But again, looking at your particular situation, there's other suggestions which are definitely not one-on-one. But feel free to just drop me an email later. Yeah.
Is there any level of security if there's a conflict to say that someone still can't make the decision on the
front? You can set it up. But again, because everything is saved, all changes are saved, it's very easy to roll back. It's usually not a good idea to set up a high level of security like that, because what ends up happening is that people that need to update eventually can't. So let's say you have a junior developer, you don't trust them this month, the next month you trust them, you have to start playing around with the security. It never works out. So every time I've seen tough security models on code revisions, it never worked out. Everyone was constantly going to the administrator, asking them to give them permission to do something because the manager just said, change this file. And you're going to go back to them and say, well, I don't have permissions to change it. So only the guy that's on vacation can change it, which usually happens. Yes?
Is there an import feature from
from one type to another? I'm sure they are. I don't know of any specific ones that I would recommend. No, I don't think so. I think there may be CVS. There's CVS. I think there's a CVS import that's available. I think we don't have any more time, so we're out of time. Thank you for listening. And I'll be here for till Saturday. Feel free to come by and ask any questions.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.